Not every executioner carries a sword. Some use crosses, rules, dogmas, and ready-made phrases. They are those who claim to be driven by ethics, righteousness, and morality, but deep down, they are imprisoning themselves and others within a cage made of guilt and shame. Jung was well aware of this archetype. For him, when morality is used as a facade, it becomes one of the most insidious forms of psychic repression. This is the case of the moral controller, someone who, instead of integrating their shadow, projects it onto the behavior of others and condemns them for what they do not accept in themselves. You have certainly met someone like this, people who frequently point fingers but never look inward, who position themselves as a reference for behavior, not because they truly are, but because they desperately need to maintain an image of moral superiority. According to Jung, the greater the repression, the more intense the need to project the shadow. And that is exactly what the moral controller does, transforms others into sinners, deviants, immoral, to avoid facing their own desires, impulses, and contradictions. The problem is that unlike a common emotional manipulator, the moral controller believes they are doing good. They genuinely think they are correcting, saving, or educating the other. And this makes their influence even more toxic, because it is cloaked in authority, good intentions, and false spirituality. The criticism comes accompanied by phrases like, "It's for your own good," "You'll thank me later," or "Someone needs to tell you the truth." But this truth is not neutral. It is laden with projection. In the book Aeon, Jung extensively discusses the figure of Christ and the Antichrist as archetypes of wholeness and dissociation. The moral controller believes they are embodying the light, but completely ignores their own darkness. They project evil onto others to maintain the illusion of purity within themselves, and this makes them blind, dangerous, unable to see the nuances of the human soul. If you live close to someone like this, you may start to feel constantly guilty, as if you are always wrong, even when you are just living. You feel watched, judged, diminished. And the most perverse thing is that, often, you internalize this judgment. You begin to repress parts of yourself that are natural, human, spontaneous, and mold yourself to an ideal that is not yours. The morality of the other becomes your prison. This dynamic is common in families, religions, and rigid environments where obedience is confused with virtue. Jung saw this pattern as a real threat to the process of individuation. For where there is excessive moralism, there is an absence of self-knowledge. The extreme moralist does not want truth, they want control. And when they cannot control the external world, they begin to control the internal world of those around them. But the moral controller is not the only one guided by unconscious forces. There is another type that is even more volatile, unstable, and unpredictable, the complexed. While the moralist represses and projects, the complexed individual is completely dominated by unconscious contents and reacts from them like an emotional puppet. In the next part, we will dive into this explosive territory where consciousness loses control and traumas take the wheel of the psyche. Prepare to encounter the type of person who can embrace you today and destroy you tomorrow, without even knowing why. If what you're hearing resonates with you, you'll find real value in my ebook, Beyond the Shadow. It breaks down Jung's core ideas and gives you tools to understand yourself more deeply. Link is in the pinned comment. Imagine living with someone who, at one moment, is sweet, affectionate, generous, and in the next moment, explodes in anger, shuts down in silence, or accuses you of something that never crossed your mind. A compliment turns into a demand. A joke becomes aggression. A gesture of affection is interpreted as a threat. No matter what you do, it seems you are always treading on unstable ground. This is the experience of those who live alongside a person dominated by unconscious complexes. The complexed. For Jung, complexes are autonomous nuclei of emotion and memory that reside in the unconscious and can take control of consciousness at any moment. They are like fragmented personalities within us, created by traumas, psychic wounds, and unresolved experiences. In the book, Psychological Types, and also in The Ego and the Unconscious, Jung describes how these complexes can directly interfere with an individual's behavior, causing them to react not to the present, but to echoes of the past. A simple comment connects unconsciously to an old abandonment, rejection, or humiliation, and those nearby pay the price. The complexed person does not realize they are being guided by these internal forces. When they react with fury, extreme sadness, or exaggerated resentment, they believe they are being rational. But they are not. They are reliving undigested emotions. And the problem is that this does not happen consistently. It occurs in lapses. There are emotional explosions interspersed with moments of lucidity, affection, or regret. This makes the bond with such a person even more confusing and addictive. You start to think, they are not always like this. Sometimes they are wonderful. And that is exactly what keeps you hooked. Because there are moments of genuine connection, of true affection. But these moments are followed by unpredictable ruptures, where you find yourself in the midst of an emotional storm that you do not understand. And, in an attempt to restore harmony, you mold yourself, adapt, shrink. You start to avoid certain topics, measure your words, walk on eggshells, all to avoid waking the monster that sleeps within the other person. But here is the brutal truth. That monster is not awakened by you. It is always there, latent, hungry, waiting for any trigger to emerge. And when it does emerge, it consumes everything around it. For Jung, unrecognized complexes end up colonizing the psyche. They speak for you, feel for you, act for you. And in the case of the complexed person, this takeover happens frequently. They may be dominated by a complex of inferiority, martyrdom, abandonment, persecution, each with its narratives, its emotions, its demands. And the more you try to maintain peace, the more you feed the illusion that it is possible to control the uncontrollable. Being close to someone like this is to live in constant alert. There is never emotional stability. The present is always contaminated by ghosts. And sooner or later, you begin to absorb these ghosts. You start to doubt yourself, your memory, your feelings. And without realizing it, you too are being colonized by the other's unconscious. But the most dangerous part is yet to come. Because while the complex person oscillates between emotional extremes, there is another type of person who does not shout, does not explode, does not accuse, but consumes your energy until you have nothing left. In the next and final section, we will talk about the psychic vampire, the one who feeds on your time, your attention, your empathy, and leaves you exhausted, drained, empty. And with them, we will close this cycle by revealing what Jung truly believed to be the way out of this unconscious jungle. Some people don't want your presence. They want your energy. And they will do everything to drain it. Not with violence, nor with explicit aggression, but with subtle demands, chronic victimhood, emotional dependency camouflaged as affection. This is the psychic vampire, the most silent and insidious form of emotional draining that Carl Jung ever warned about, even if not by that name. Because in Jungian language, it is the symbol of the unresolved symbiotic relationship, the pathological bond that hinders psychic growth and dissolves the contours of the self. Jung, in various passages of The Ego and the Unconscious and in Ion, shows us that one of the greatest threats to the process of individuation, the path towards wholeness, is symbiotic relationships, where two people do not recognize themselves as separate individuals, but as psychic extensions of one another. The psychic vampire lives exactly in this type of connection. They need your constant attention, your daily comfort, your being available all the time. But behind the neediness, there is a void that is not yours, and that you will never be able to fill. You start by offering support. Then you give time. Then you tolerate emotional abuse in the name of understanding. Until you realize that all your energy is being drained, and that you no longer know where the other ends and where you begin. The exhaustion is profound. It is not just physical, it is existential. It feels as if your soul is being devoured drop by drop, day after day. Jung spoke of people who, unable to sustain themselves psychically, attach to others like emotional parasites. And as cruel as it may seem, this is the truth. The psychic vampire does not want to grow. They want to be carried. But the danger is not just in the exhaustion. It is in the dissolution of the self. You start to feel guilty for wanting space, selfish for wanting silence, cold for wanting distance, because the psychic vampire is a master at reversing roles. From victim, they become accuser. From needy, they become manipulator. And before you realize it, you are living to avoid crises, to maintain peace, to sustain a bond that is killing you inside. Jung offers us a path to make the unconscious conscious. And this applies to both others and ourselves. Because perhaps, at some point in life, you too have been a psychic vampire, or a complex person, or a bearer of the persona. None of us is immune. We all have shadow. We all have pain. The difference lies in who has the courage to look within, and who chooses to project that weight onto others. This video was a mirror, a dive into the dynamics that bind us, hurt us, and keep us unconscious. If you've made it this far, it means you are ready to see, to name, to break free. And this is the first and most powerful form of freedom. It is not about blaming others, but about stepping out of the hostage position, about reclaiming sovereignty over your own psyche. Now, I want you to participate. Leave in the comments, which of these profiles have you faced, and which do you honestly perceive within yourself? Your comment could be the beginning of awareness, yours and of those who read it. And before you go, an important notice. The next video is also essential. It will take you even deeper into this journey of self-knowledge. So keep watching. You need to see. Because the more light we shed on the unconscious, the less it controls us. See you there.